From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. A bloody hours-long standoff between militants and security forces at a Pakistani police academy is over. At least 59 police cadets were killed, dozens more wounded. The gunmen armed with explosive vests attacked the Balochistan facility in southwest Pakistan near Quetta. There are conflicting claims of responsibility. A local security official insisted they were members of the Al-Qaeda Sunni militant group Lashkar-e-Jhangvi. Pakistani analyst Moeen Chima of Australia National University said the group has become a top priority for security forces.
The state has taken these sorts of sectarian militant outfits also seriously, and the Lashkar-e-Jhangvi has particularly been targeted. Some of its notable leaders were killed by the police in an attack a few months back. So clearly there is motivation for the Lashkar-e-Jhangvi. If it is confirmed that it is the Lashkar-e-Jhangvi which has carried out this attack, there's clearly motivation because they have been targeting public officials and now the military as well in retaliation for the intelligence-based operations against them.
The region has been beset by mass attacks this year, with more than 70 killed in August, March rather, in an Easter Sunday attack in Lahore, and 70 more died in a suicide attack in August at a Quetta hospital. In Central African Republic Monday, at least four killed when protests in the capital Bangui aimed at UN peacekeepers turned violent. Five peacekeepers among the 14 wounded. One protester said people don't understand what the role of the UN mission known as MINUSCA is. He said people continue fighting, the peacekeepers don't intervene. Early this month, at least 30 people were killed and dozens wounded when fighters from the Muslim Salika militia group staged an attack in the central town of Kaka Bandoro. This is VOA News. Iraqi forces advancing on Mosul are reportedly facing stiff resistance from Islamic State defenders. The jihadists are hitting back with shells, sniper fire, suicide car bombings, and booby traps. Meanwhile, the UN Refugee Agency said it's gearing up for the anticipated flood of displaced civilians from the fighting in Mosul. Filippo Grandi is the UN High Commissioner for Refugees.
UNHCR, just to give you an example, is going to have in 2-3 days 30,000 tents in country, in Iraq. This is enough for 150,000 people.
A U.S. defense spokesman Monday said Iraqi and Kurdish Peshmerga fighters have regained more than 800 square kilometers of territory since the Mosul campaign was launched last week. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry and his Russian counterpart, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, discussed Syria by telephone Monday. Both men agreed experts will continue searching for ways to resolve the fighting over Aleppo. Government forces reportedly captured the strategic high ground of Bazo on the city's southern edge. Meanwhile, at least 13 were reportedly killed Monday in a heavy government airstrike in rebel-held Idlib province. This civil defense volunteer said warplanes targeted the town of Khan Sheikhoun with explosive thermobaric bombs. He said six strikes targeted schools and a marketplace. U.S. Secretary of State Kerry spoke by phone Sunday with his Philippines counterpart on what U.S. spokesman John Kirby Monday described as bilateral and regional matters of concern. President Rodrigo Duterte has used incendiary language in response to U.S. criticism of his prosecution of the war on drugs. He also announced in Beijing last week a separation from its longtime ally, Washington. Kirby said U.S. diplomat Daniel Russell met Philippine Foreign Secretary Perfecto Yesaya Manila Monday and had a clear message.
That the relationship remains stable and solid, and that we obviously are both going to have to work to sustain it and to keep it going. But they both came away from their discussions feeling that we were going to be able to work through this period.
Mr. Duterte, who visited China last week, arrives Tuesday in Japan. European Union and Canadian leaders say they're still hopeful a transatlantic free trade deal will be approved despite opposition from a small region in Belgium. Chrystia Freeland is the Canadian Minister of International Trade.
Canada is ready to sign now. We've done our job. Now it's up to Europe to do its job.
All 28 EU members must sign off on the Comprehensive Economic Trade Agreement for it to take effect. Belgium, the only outstanding country, needs support of all five regional parliaments. Wallonia has so far refused. And demolition crews moved in to break up makeshift refugee camp called the Jungle near the French port city Calais. I'm Victor Beatty.
That's the latest world news from VOA.